This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam to the Kollel Agra de Pirka of Kew Garden Hills, New York. Soon this will be a shiur for, the Zoom shiur will be for all the Agra de Pirkas. So it's going to be a little bit of a tweak in the scheduling, but Rabbi Ezra Klein will apprise everybody of that in the days ahead. Okay, Parshas Vayera. So Parshas Vayera is a shiur. Maybe I gave it many, many years ago. At the time, it only consisted of the certain kernel idea, but in the new Sefer, it was further developed. And I would like to share with you this presentation today. If anybody wants to get the new Sefer, it's available on our site, rabbidg.com, with free shipping. And we begin, Parshas Vayera, we begin with a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya. The Navi Yeshaya says, V'yata Yisrael avdi Yaakov asher b'charticha zera Avramoy havi. And you, Yisrael, my servant, Yaakov, that I chose you, Zerah Avraham Oyavi, the seed of Avraham Oyavi, who loved me. And that is a very unusual title. That we're calling Avraham Avinu Avraham Oyavi, Avraham who loved me. Why was Avraham Zoicha to get this title? That he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else was given this title. Not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not Moshe, not David, not any of the Nevi'im, not Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel. And this question is pondered by none other than the Chassam Sofer in his Hakdama to Yaradea, which is a separate compilation called Pituchei Chosam. And this question is dealt with by none other than the Chafetz Chaim himself, where the Chassam Sofer wonders, Yizbarach hayoitzer v'yishtabach hanoira, asher bachar b'uma nivchara, oy havei mitzvoysa v'shomer teirasai, Yaakov bachar loika Yisrael l'skula asai. B'nei Yisrael am kroivoy zera avram oy havei, kidachsiv v'ato Yisrael avdi. Yaakov asher b'charticha zera Avraham oyavi. Why was Avraham Avinu zoicha to this extra, excessive expression of love that he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than any of the other avos? Now, another very unusual phenomenon we encounter in this week's parsha, and that is in the introduction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying the city of Sodom, Hashem seems, really, for the only time in Chumash and in the entire Nevi'im and Ksuvim, to, so to speak, vacillate and to hem and haw and to question. Vashem Amar Hamichase Ani Ime Avraham Asher Ani Oisa. And Hashem said, "Can I hide? Can I cover from Avraham that which I'm going to do?" It almost sounds like Hashem was not sure whether to tell Avraham about what he planned on doing to the city of Sodom. If you look in the Chassam Sofer further on, Chassam Sofer says, "Umashanu tzrichem la'amid olav oid ki loy nimtza b'shum navi." We don't find by any prophet hisboinenu sheyisboinen Hashem tchila imroi lahatzil olav hanavua mitzad kishroin ma'asav. Whether Hashem vacillates and contemplates, well, is this person worthy for me to bestow upon them prophecy based on their deeds? And by Avraham Avinu, Hashem says, should I tell Avraham that I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom? Should I not tell him? How can I hide it from him? How can I cover it up from him? Do we ever find Hashem say, should I tell Yeshaya? Should I tell him? Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. All right, he's a really swell guy, I'm going to tell him. Should I tell Yirmiyah? Should I tell Yechezkel? Never does Ribbono Shel Olam vacillate. Never does Hashem question. If he has if Hashem has prophecy to say, He says it. Ki lo yase elokim davar bilti in megala el yireyav. Hashem does not do anything unless He reveals it to those who fear Him. And yet by Avraham Avinu, Hashem seems to have been somewhat unsure whether to reveal this information to Avraham. And He ultimately decides, yes, I'm going to reveal the information to Avraham Avinu. What was this uncertainty? Why did Hashem question whether He should reveal it or not? Now, what's very interesting is what's very interesting is another difficulty, namely, you know, Avraham was a very great man, but there were seemed to have been individuals in the beginning of the narrative of Chumash, in the storyline of Bereishis, that perhaps were even greater than Avraham, namely, Chanoich. What happened to Chanoich? Chanoich was on such a high madrega, Nisparda HaChavila, his four Yesoidos, namely Afar, Ruach, Mayim, and Esh, they unraveled, and Chanoich could no longer exist, and he went up to the Shamayim, and he became one of the Malachi Hashares. He became a heavenly angel. That never happened to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was not that holy that he was able to reach the Madrega, that his elements unraveled and he became an angel. So if Avraham was greater than Chanoich, then why did Chanoich reach a much higher Madrega than Avraham? We have this dichotomy in Avraham. On the one hand, he's given a title that no individual was ever given, namely that he loves Hashem. Certainly, Moshe Rabbeinu loved Hashem. Certainly, David loved Hashem. But they were not given the title Oyhavi. Only Avraham. On the other hand, there have been people who reached higher madrigas than Avraham, like Chanoich. He became one of the Malachi Asharis. On the other hand, Avraham Avinu seems to not have been on such a high madriga of Nevuah, because God is vacillating and deliberating. Should He tell Avraham the Nevuah? Should He not tell him the Nevuah? Here's another interesting thing. Ki yedativ, because I love Him. L'man asher yitzaveh es banav yesbeisoy acharav v'shamiru de'erech Hashem la'asoy tzedakah u'mishpat l'man havi Hashem al Avraham eis asher diber olav. God says, you know, I can't hide it from Avraham because I love him. Why do I love him? Because he commands his children and his household after him to keep the path of God, to do charity and justice. And now we encounter a very big difficulty. And what does Avraham Avinu tell the people that their motivation should be in performing acts of charity and justice? Leman Havi Hashem al Avraham, so that the Lord could bring upon Avraham Eis Asher Diber Alav, that which He promised He would do to him. In other words, God promised He would care for that for Avraham and bless him and give him a success. So Avraham tells his children that they should do tzedakah and chesed so that basically they should receive reward. Is Avraham telling his descendants that they should serve God amanas lekabel pras, on condition to receive reward? I thought you're not supposed to serve Hashem amanas lekabel pras. And this too, the Chassam Sofer asks. Now, what's very difficult here is, it seems that the reason why Hashem loves Avraham is because He commands His children and His household after Him to follow the ways of Hashem. And the problem, though, is, why is He telling them to fulfill the commands of Hashem in order to be mekabel pras? Isn't that a very low madrega? Let's see if we can find this in the Chassam Sofer. He Here, the Chassam Sofer says on this bottom paragraph, L'chayra yesh adaktik, b'lashon akra, l'man havi, l'fi hemshach ha-mikra, l'man havi, nimshach ala samuch. It's going on what was said in close proximity, namely, v'shamru darach Hashem. This, that in other words, Avram Avinu told his descendants, his children, his household, to serve Hashem, in order that Hashem should bestow on him and his family and their children everything Hashem promised he would bring upon them. So that sounds like Avram Avinu is telling his those who listen to him to serve Hashem. Amanas the Kabel Pras. That seems like a very low madrega. And here's another important item that's worthy of our attention. Vayomer Elokim el Avraham, al yira b'einecha al hanar v'al hamosecha kol asher toimar elecha Sarah shema b'koilach. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Ki v'yitzchak yikarei lecha zara shema b'koilach, listen to her voice. Says Rashi, b'koil ruach hakodesh shaba, listen to her voice of ruach hakodesh. Lamadnu. So one second. Avraham should listen to Sarah. Wait, says Rashi, that means Sarah was greater than Avraham. Lamadnu shahaya Avraham tafa l'Sarah b'nevios. From here we learn that Abraham was secondary, was subsidiary, was tafel to Sarah in prophecy. Really? Avraham was tafel to Sarah in prophecy? How could you say such a thing? Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu many, many times. Lech lecha, bris bein abesarim, that he's going to have Yitzchak. Does anybody know how many words of nevuah were said to Sarah in Kol HaTorah Kula? According to some, none. According to the Medrash, two. You know what they were? Ki tzachakt, but you laughed. Wow, what a great prophetess. The only prophecy she ever received is, Sarah, you lied. You said, loy tzachakta, loy tzachakti. God says, no, ki tzachakt. That doesn't sound like someone who is greater than Avraham Avinu in Nevuah. So how could Chazal say that Avraham was tafel to Sarah in prophecy, as the Netziv in the Hamak Dabar and Parshas Chayisara? And now we come to one of the great all-time fundamental teachings of the Heilige Chassam Sofer, and this is his introduction to Yoredeya. And this is a fundamental question that everyone has to ask themselves. What does God want from a Jew in this world? Should a person focus on their own growth and their own development in Avodas Hashem? Is that what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants? That everybody should be focused on their own personal service? Look, we have a Shulchan Aruch. Everyone needs to learn Shulchan Aruch. As Reb Volbo says, one of the four things every Jew must know is the Mishnah Brura. So look, I have my Mishnah Brura and I follow the Halacha. V'shalom olayich nafshi. Says the Heilige Chassam Sofer, it is not the will of God that somebody should devote their life just to sit in their Dalet Amos and to focus on their own growth and development. Because how great will somebody be turn into? He'll become like a malach. God already has hundreds of thousands of malachim in Shamayim. That's why Hashem is called Tzevakos. He's the Lord of hosts. One more malach, one less malach. It ain't going to do that much for the Ribbono Shel Olam. He already has enough malachim in the Shamayim. It is not the Ratzon of Hashem that someone sit in their Dalet Amos only focused on their own learning and their own Avodas Hashem and their own Ruchnias. Instead, says the Chassam Sofer, if that was what God wanted, then we would all consider Chanoich one of the greatest people who ever lived. After all, who's greater than Chanoich that reached such a high spiritual level that his entity, Nisparda HaChavila, unraveled and he turned into a heavenly angel. No, it is the will of Hashem that a person mitigate and give up of their own ruchnias, of their own spirituality, of their own pursuit of knowledge of Torah, of their own focus on their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to share the inspiration of ruchnias with other Jews, so that because if somebody truly was a loyal servant of the king, the greatest display of love and loyalty to the king is not in one's personal service of the king. If somebody was just serving the king all day, but it was immaterial to them, it did not matter to them whether the king had more servants and the king had more admirers, then that's not really a loyal servant of the king, that's a selfish servant of the king. Someone who really loves the king will try to galvanize and try to garner as many loyal subjects and soldiers as possible. And therefore the greatest display of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not demonstrated by somebody sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, learning Shas, learning Chovos HaVavos, learning Maseilas Yesharim, and focused on their own development. The greatest reflection of Avas Hashem is someone who makes significant efforts to try to bring others under Atachas Kanfei Hashchina. Now, says the Chasam Sofer, who demonstrated this approach to Avodas Hashem more than anybody in history, who literally gave up of their own ruchnias to bring people tachas kanfei hashchina, people of all stripes, of all beliefs, of all ethnicities. Mi lanu gadol me Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu devoted his life to bring all ethnicities tachas kanfei hashchina. And that is why Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Oyhavi, Avraham who loves me, because the greatest demonstration of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not reflected in learning Torah, is not reflected in learning Musar, is not reflected in doing mitzvahs, is reflected in trying to galvanize and garner as many loyal subjects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Avraham Avinu warranted the title Oyhavi, he loves me. You know how I know he loves me? Because he's willing to sacrifice his own ruchnias for my sake. He's willing to remain on a lower madrega to bring other people tachas kanfei hashchina. However, says the Chasam Sofer, this approach in Avodas Hashem is laden with great danger. And that is because when somebody is involved in what we call kiruv rechoikim, in chinuch, in teaching others, so you can't be a saint. And you can't be in Tainas Dibur, and you have to be able to communicate with the people, and sometimes you need to be able to speak to the people on their level and speak to the people about what they're interested in. And a person cannot be a hermit, and maybe the influencer has to know what's taking place in the world and has to know about certain frivolities to be able to relate to the people he's influencing, and in a way that could prevent the tzaddik from being elevated. If he knows what's happening in the world and he knows about certain trivial matters, that could prevent him from rising up to the highest levels. But nevertheless, that itself, that self-sacrifice, to give up on one's own growth, that itself is the greatest sign of love that the person has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, Avraham loves me. Avraham is Oyhavi. He loves me because he's willing to give up of his own ruchnias to teach others. Therefore, I love him. Ki yedativ. I love him. You know why I love him? Mida kineged mida. Because he goes and he teaches people. Don't serve Hashem because you're going to be on a very elevated plane. Don't serve Hashem because it's going to elevate your soul. Avraham Avinu knows how to speak to the people of the lowest madrega. He tells them, observe the path of Hashem so that God could reward you. Isn't that Avodas Hashem Amanas L'Kabel Pras? Isn't that a very low level? You bet it's a very low level. But Avraham knew his customers. He knew who he was dealing with. He knew how he had to influence them and how he had to motivate them. And that is exactly why God loved him. God loved him because he was able to communicate even to Aravim, who bow down to the dust of their feet, and he was able to communicate to them on Lefi Madre Gossam. Says Chasam Sofer, the only thing is, someone who spends his day doing Kirov, he's out on a campus somewhere, he's with young people who are not on such a high level. You think this person has an opportunity to prepare themselves for prophecy? Do you know what kind of hachana is needed for prophecy? The Navi, first of all, has to elevate himself to the highest levels of chachma. The Navi has to be mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to separate from Olam Hazeh, has to be in seclusion. Well, you can't go out and be mekarev rechoikim and at the same time be sitting in your tent being mizbodeid on the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are mutually exclusive. You can't be an Avraham Avinu and be a Navi. The two don't go together. Because to be an Avraham Avinu, you're sitting at the entrance of your tent, and every time somebody comes passing by, you run out to discuss with them, to talk to them about the news, and maybe about other trivial matters until you could engage them in conversation. So how could someone like Avraham Avinu have the requisite preparation to be mizboinein and mizboided, to reach the madrigas of nevuah? And says Chasam Sofer, Avraham Avinu was not on the level to receive Nevuah. He was not able to make the requisite preparation. He could not sit in his tent and be Mizboinein and be Mizboideid. So why did he receive Nevuah? And the answer is, you know else who had that question? God Himself. And that's why Hashem is vacillating. Can I tell Avraham the Nevuah? How could I tell him the Nevuah? He's not prepared, he's not ready, he's not in seclusion, he's not secluded, he's not mizdabeg to me, he's out in the fields, he's out in the marketplace, he's out shooting the breeze with Oivdei Avodah Zarah, he's not on the level of Nevuah. But Hashem said, how can I not tell him the Nevuah? Because the only reason why he's not on the level of Nevuah is because he's being Moiser Nefesh. Not only is he being Moiser his physical self, he's being Moiser his spirituality, because to him, more important than that he should reach the Madrega of being like a Malach, he figures, I already have enough Malachim, better to galvanize and to garner more loyal followers of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says Hashem, since the reason why he's not on the level of Nevuah is out of love for me, how could I hide the Nevuah from him? Hamechasa ani me Avraham, Esa Asher ani Oisa. Now, this is very interesting. Because if you go back to the Netziv's question, how can we say that Avraham Avinu was tafel to Sarah in Nevius? How could we say that Avraham was tafel to Sarah in prophecy? Says the Netziv, that's not exactly what it means. There are two kinds of divine inspiration. There's Nevuah and there's Ruach HaKodesh. Nevuah is when God tells you, go here, go there, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. God communicates to you. And regarding that avenue, there's no question Avraham Avinu is much greater than Sarah. God spoke to Avraham many, many times. To Sarah, God only spoke two words. But then there's something called Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is where the person goes into seclusion, the person goes into solitude and connects to God, and the person on their own could begin to see certain things into the future. That type of divine connection, Sarah Imenu was much greater than Avraham. You know why Sarah was greater than Avraham? Because Avraham Avinu did not have the luxury to sit in his tent and contemplate and meditate. Avraham Avinu was a man of the people, and he did not have the time or the wherewithal to be able to reach the Madrigos of Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Rashi means, that Avraham was tafel to Sarah in Nevius. It means Avraham was tafel in Ruach HaKodesh. Says the Netziv, you know where I got this approach from? This is based on what the Goyin, the Chasam Sofer, writes in his Hakdama to Yaradeya, Dvarim Ru'uyim Eilav, words that are fitting for the Chasam Sofer. You know what the Chasam Sofer, you know what the Netziv means? That these are words that are fitting of the Chasam Sofer? So, if I could share with you, I take you now to our humble Sefer, Magen Rakia on Bereshis. And in a footnote, we explain, what does a Netziv mean that these are words that are Roy Lamisha Amrai? Check this out. I bring over here B'siyata D'Shmaya. I once heard from Noach Isaac Olbeam Shlita that there was no one ever like the Chasam Sofer in his being completely given over to the Tzibur. He fulfilled three great tafkidim in Klal Yisrael. He was the Marda Asra of Kahal Kadosh Pressburg. He was also the Rosh Hashiva, and he was the Meshiv. He answered Shilas and Shuvas to the whole generation. There was no one who was as given over to Klal Yisrael as the Chasam Sofer. So this approach is certainly Dvarim Ruyim Eilav. This is a Dvarim Ruyim Eilav. Now, wasn't Sarah busy with the women? Yeah, but not to the same extent as Avraham, as Sarah was always ba'oyhel. So whoever was in the oyhel, Sarah could influence, but she did not go out the way and build a mizbeach and be kari b'shem Hashem the way Avraham Avinu did. Now, this explains how Sarah was greater than Avraham in Nevuah. We understand that even though Avraham did not reach the same spiritual level as Chanoich, but he is called Avraham Oyhavi, Avraham, the one who loved me, and because he wasn't on such a high level, Hashem had to vacillate. Should I tell him the Nevuah? But ultimately, Hashem said, since the reason he's not on the Madrega is because of his love for me, therefore I will tell him this Nevuah. This is the amazing approach of the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer on Parashas Kedoshim, he adds some fuel to this beautiful approach. Namely, we know, V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha ze klal gadol b'Torah. Love your neighbor like yourself. This is a great principle in the Torah. And the Chasam Sofer is bothered. I should love you like myself? We should be equal? Who says I should love you like myself? Rabbi Akiva. V'yahavta l'reacha kamoicha ze klal gadol b'Torah. Amar Rabbi Akiva ze klal gadol b'Torah. Rabbi Akiva? What's the halach if two people are walking in the desert and there's only one cup of water? Who gets to drink the cup of water? Darash Rabbi Akiva v'chei achicha ima chayecha koidem. You come first! You don't have to love your friend like yourself. You have to love yourself more than your friend. If there's one cup of water, you drink it yourself. You don't give it to your friend. So how could Rabbi Akiva say, love your neighbor like yourself? No, love yourself more than your neighbor. Says the Chasam Sofer, that when it comes to water, when it comes to gashmius, when it comes to physicality, love yourself more. If you only have one pillow, you sleep on it. If you only have one home, you live in it. If you only have one sandwich, you eat it. That's when it comes to gashmius, chayecha koidem. But when it comes to ruchnius, you have to love your neighbor like yourself. You have to put your friend first. Yeah, I could sit and learn and grow from one madrega to the next. That is not what God wants. God does not want my personal growth. God prefers I give up from my personal growth for the benefit of others. So you'll say, so why does Rabbi Akiva say, V'yahavta l'recha kamoicha, love your neighbor like yourself? You should love yourself, you should love your friend more. V'yahavta l'recha yoiser mi kamoicha. The answer is you should. You should put your friend first. And now we come to another great principle, that when you do put your friend first, you will not lose out the madrigos and the Torah that you could have amassed had you focused on yourself. Like we find by Avraham. Even though Avraham Avinu, if he would have, he could have sat in his tent and reached the madriga of Nevuah, but he didn't. And even so, God said, because you gave up of your growth to teach others, I'll tell you the Nevuah anyway. So even though you need to put your friend first, but it will end up being kamaicha, because God will compensate for your lost time. And in the little bit of time you have, you'll be able to learn just as much. And in the little bit of time you have, you'll be able to reach the same heights of madrega. This is the amazing approach of the Chasam Sofer. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim himself says the same thing on the mitzvah of loving Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim says it's a mitzvah that a person is chayev at all times and every moment. And part of the mitzvah is to bring other Jews closer to Hashem and to make God beloved to others. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Abraham, Oy Havoy, the one who loves me. Even though, by the way, the Chafetz Chaim says, in the times of Avraham Avinu, there were many God-fearing Jews, God-fearing people. What happened? Yeshiva Shem, Yeshiva Aver, there were even Nevi'im, Malki Tzedek. Why didn't Shem produce a nation like Avraham Avinu? Why didn't Aver produce a nation like Avraham Avinu? Why did Hashem consider Avraham the one who loved him? Shem had a nice yeshiva. Aver had a nice yeshiva. The answer is, it's not enough just to sit and learn. Not only that, it's not even enough to have a yeshiva and to say, you know, whoever wants to come to my yeshiva, great. And if you don't come to my yeshiva, too bad on you. No, Avraham Avinu went out into the world and he traveled and he galvanized and he garnered and he brought people under the banner of Torah, and that is why Klal Yisrael comes from Abraham and not from Mesushelach and not from Shem and not from Aver and not from Noach. Because they believed in God and they taught about God, but only to those who wanted to come and hear them. By the way, Rav Moshe Feinstein says something really astounding. Rav Moshe writes, see if I can find it, that we know, until Avraham Avinu, there was Charoin Af Ba'olam. And when Avraham Avinu came to the world, the Charoin Af stopped. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Tes, the first 2,000 years of the world's existence are considered Yemei Toyo Vavoyu, emptiness and nothing. The next 2,000 years are called Yemei Torah, years of Torah. Friends, I ask you one simple question. There was no Torah before Avraham Avinu? Noach learned Torah. There was Yeshiva Shem Ba'Ever. There was a yeshiva. Rivka went to the yeshiva to get advice. So, how could you say before Avraham there was no Torah? Not only was there no Torah, it's Toihu Vavoyu. It's nothing. And Torah is only from the time of Avraham Avinu, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. You could have tzaddikim who sit and learn 24 hours a day. That is toyu vavoyu. Torah is when people are moiser nefesh, to be marbe talmidim. Then the world has kiyum. Like Avraham Avinu went out and he was yikra b'shem Hashem. I'll share with you something very important. This approach to the Chasam Sofer, I believe, he got from none other than his Rebbe, the Hafla, Reb Pinchas Horowitz. The Hafla in many Mekoymos, in his Hakdama to Sefer Hafla, the Sefer HaMakna, Ois Mem Gimel Mem Dalid, and also on this week's Parsha, in the Panim Yafos, he brings this idea that Chazal tell us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Torah Yevakshu Mipiu Ki Malach Hashem Tzavakosu. That if your Rebbe is like a Malach Hashem, Torah Yevakshu Mipiu. That one should only seek Torah from a Rebbe that is like a Malach. What exactly are we looking for in the Rebbe that he should be like a Malach? Why do we want the Rebbe to be like a Malach? We know there is a fundamental difference between Adam and Malach. Adam is a Hoylech, he goes from Madrega to Madrega. His Yelchum Echayel Echayel. A Malach is an Oymed. A Malach is plateaued. Malach is created on a certain level and he remains on that level forever. It is the job of a Rebbe. When he is teaching Torah to the Talmidim, he should be like a Malach, an Oymed. He should be wholeheartedly and solely focused on the growth of his Talmidim, not focused at all on his own growth. He should be like a Malach. Because when a person is like a Malach, he's not growing. The job of the Rebbe, the job of the Mashpia, is to be completely, wholeheartedly focused on the growth of the Talmidim. If the Rebbe is Doime L'Malach Hashem Tzavaka, is then Yevakshu Torah Mipiv. But says the Hafla, a very important thing, that don't think that when the Rebbe, by the way, the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev says, this is exactly what Avraham Avinu did when the Malachim came. V'hu oymed aleihem tachas ha'etz. Avraham Avinu made himself like an oymed. He made himself like a Malach to influence these people that came to his home. He was completely disengaged from his own personal growth, wholeheartedly focused on the growth of his Talmidim. But says the Hafla, the David HaMelech in Tehillim compares the tzaddik katamar yifrach ke'erez balavanon yiska. Now what's the difference between a tamar and an erez? A date palm produces fruits. It's very focused on producing fruits. And therefore it can't grow so tall. So we say tzaddik katamar yifrach. A tzaddik should be like a date palm, producing many peros, teaching Torah to others. But so you might think if he should be like a date palm, so he won't be able to grow that tall. The tzaddik will be limited in his capacity to rise up from one madriga to another. And therefore, the Torah tells us, David HaMelech says, Ke'erez balavanon yiska, that even though the tzaddik makes himself like a tamar, teaching talmidim, influencing others, giving up of his own growth, nevertheless, Ke'erez v'alavanon yiske, God will be mashlim the tzaddik. God will help the tzaddik reach the highest madregos, because when a person gives up of themselves to teach others, to influence others, to be mezakeh harabim, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives them extra siyata d'shmaya in the learning that they do and in the growth that they have. And therefore, says the Hafla, an amazing thing. We know, Harbe Lamadati Me Rabbeisai. I learned a lot from my Rabbeim, Chazal say. V'yoyser Mechaverai. I learned even more from my friends. Umi Talmida Yoyser Mikulam. And from my students, I learned the most. Says the Hafla, a wondrous thing, that God gives the Rebbe the Torah which is needed for all of his Talmidim. And therefore, the more the Rebbe teaches the Talmidim, the more Torah the Rebbe gets. One would think the more time the Rebbe spends teaching Talmidim, the less the Rebbe knows. No, just the opposite. The more the Rebbe gets teaches the Talmidim, the more Torah the Rebbe gets. Says the Hafla, this is analogous to a mother nursing her young. The more milk the baby needs, the more milk the mother gets. So too with Torah. The more the Rebbe is devoted to the Talmidim, the more Hashpa of Ruchnius HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Rebbe. In fact, we know that Chazal say, Yoyser mima she ha'asher oise la'ani ha'ani oise im ha'asher. More than the wealthy man does with the poor man, the poor man does with the wealthy man. How's that? The same way, listen to this. Why does somebody have money? God only gives money to the Oishar to give it to the Ani. So more that the Ani does to the, more that the Oishar does to the Ani gives to the Oishar. Because the Oishar is giving the Ani publicly. But the Ani is providing for the Oishar, Matan Beseser. It's not even apparent how the Ani is giving to the Oishar. The same thing, the Rebbe is openly giving to the Talmidim. But secretively, behind the scenes, it's the Talmidim who are providing the Torah to the Rebbe. The Rebbe becomes the conduit to the Torah of the Talmidim. I want to share with you a very important marsha. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, on Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis, a story. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya were fighting. I'll bring it to you. This is not on the sheets, but it's in the Sefer. Yeah. Page Resh Mem Dalad. If you have a Sefer, great. Look at this Gemara. The Gemara says, when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya were fighting, Rabbi Chanina said to Rabbi Chiya, "You're fighting with me? Chas v'shalom. If the Torah would be forgotten, I would restore the Torah with my pilpul." Rabbi Chiya said, "You're fighting with me? I would make sure the Torah is not forgotten in the first place. You know what I would do? I would go plant flax, I would produce nets, I would catch a deer, I would feed the meat to Yisoimim, I would make scrolls, I would write Chamishe Chumshe Torah, I would teach 5 children 5 of the books of the Torah, I would teach 6 children 6 of the books of the Mishnah, and then, so each child, one would know Bereshis, one would know Shemais, one would know Vayikra, one would know Bamidbar, one would know Zoram, one would know Ma'id, and then I would tell them, okay, now guys, go teach it to each other. What you know, go teach someone else. Ask the Marsha, very simple question, why didn't he just teach Chamishe Chumshe Torah and Shishat HaMisha to all 11 students? Says the Marsha, no. He wanted each one not only to learn, he wanted each one to teach. Shehu mala ha'elyoina b'toira. The highest madrega of limud ha'toira is teaching. There is a hashkafa out there, which, who am I to say, but according to what we're learning, it does not seem to be correct, that it is, the ideal is to spend in one's dalet amos, and focused on one's own ruchnias, and that's the highest way of serving Hashem. And we're learning from here that this is completely not true. This is against Mesoras of the Gedolim of all the generations. The highest madrega of Limud HaTorah is not to be loymed, is to be melamed. That's the highest madrega. In fact, they asked the stipler. There was once a Avreich who was offered the opportunity to be a Magid Shir, and he didn't want to take it up because he figured it would take away from his learning. And the stipler said that if somebody prepares a Shir to give over to others and he teaches it, that's the equivalent of learning something 50 times. Now, even if somebody's not in a professional capacity as a Rebbe, as a teacher, as a Magid Shir, everybody sits at a Shabbos table, everyone has friends, has conversations, and if somebody prepares even a Dvar Torah or a Torah insight, and he prepares it and he gives it over, that's the equivalent of 50 times. That's the highest madrega of Talmud Torah. Back to these Mar Mekomos, I want to share with you 2 stories. One is on the sheets, one ain't on the sheets. In the Sefer Nesivos Ohr of Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, who wrote biographical information about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he writes that in the youth of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, when he was at the pinnacle of his righteousness and his saintliness, it entered his mind he wanted to reach the highest madrigos of Avodas Hashem, So he figured he would go into seclusion and he would be a poiresh and he would be a nistar and he would go into his boininus and hide himself and he would be a lamed vav tzaddik that nobody knows about. And this is a very tried and tested way of reaching very high levels. However, when a person hides themselves and he makes himself like a lamed vav tzaddik, it's very hard to really accomplish great things for Hashem and for the Torah, to influence others, to elevate people. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael recognized, Loi zeh haderech chefetz Hashem. This is not the path that God desires for someone who is given chachma and yiras Hashem. Otherwise, the person cannot influence others. And says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the same way when it comes to Gashmias, would a person say, well, I'm going to sit in my living room, in my dining room, and I'm just going to eat hamburgers myself. Better, how does it go? Better a hamburger today than two hamburgers on Tuesday, wherever it goes. What would we call somebody who just eats themselves and does not feed others? We'd call them selfish. So why is Ruchnius any different? Someone who just sits in their Dalet Amos, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, didn't the Nefesh HaChaim say, Loi kol ha'adam loi la'atzmai nivra. Man was not created for himself. Rak lahoyol la'achrini kachol asher yimatzei b'koichai. So why should Olam Haba be any different? Hashem did not create man just to focus on their own growth, but rather Hashem created man to be able to influence others. In fact, Rabbi Avadya Yosef, on Parshas Noach, he says, you know, when it comes to Noach, there are those who are doyresh l'shvach v'zeh shadarshim l'gnai. Some darshan Noach for his praise, and some darshan the pasuk for his detriment. Ask Rabbi Avadya, if there are two ways to understand the life of Noach, one is in positive light, one is negative light, then why would anybody understand it or expound it in a negative light? Why aren't we danim l'kav schus? I mean, if there are those who are dorish l'shvach, why would anyone be dorish l'gnai? And the answer is because Noach did not do and follow this pathway of Avram Avinu, who is Avram Oyavi. Noach was a great man and he learned Torah, but he did not influence the people the way Avram Avinu did. And because of that, Chazal wanted it to be clear, yesh darshim l'ganai, that loy zu haderech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I want to share with you a story. It's not on these sheets, it's in the Sefer. And I put in the Sefer because it was very moving to me. I originally read about this in an interesting book that was written many years ago. It's probably written about 35 years ago. It's an art scroll book. The name of the book is The Aryeh Kaplan Reader. And you know Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan translated the Yalkut Me'am Loyes into English. What's interesting is he translated it from the original Ladino and not from the Hebrew. Now, who put together Yalkut Me'am Loyes? Yalkut Me'am Loyes was written by Rav Yaakov Kuli, who was a gadol who lived about 300 years ago. And he arranged for print the very scholarly sefer, Get Pashut, of his grandfather. And he also arranged the sefer Mishnah LeMelech. You know, the classic commentary on the Rambam, Mishnah LeMelech, that was arranged by none other than Rabbi Yaakov Kuli, arranged the writings of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Rosnitz. And not only that, the Rabbi Yaakov Kuli arranged the great sefer, Parshas Drachim. That means he was quite an impressive poisek, halachist, lamdin. So what sefer do you think Rabbi Yaakov Kuli chose to write? He wrote Yalkut Me'am Loyes, which is basically a collection of Midrashim and Divrei Agada. And not only that, he wrote it not in Hebrew, but in Ladino. And he didn't write it for great Talmid Chachamim, for simple people. And he writes in his introduction that he knew people would mock him. why is this great Gadol B'Yisrael writing, you know, an art scroll book on Medrash? So he knew what he was in for. He knew this would not bring him great kavod. He knew people would say, someone like him who put together the Get Pashut and the Parshas Drachim and the Shemelch, he wrote stories, the little Medrash says. And Rav Yaakov Kuli didn't explain why he did it. He just said he knew what he would have to suffer. But in the Chida's entry to Rav Yaakov Kuli in the Shem HaGadoilim, he says, HaChacham HaShem HaChassid Ono Rav Yaakov Kuli, the author of Me'am Loyes, why did he write it? L'Zakoises HaRabim. That's why he did it. He gave up of his own greatness in learning, in lamdus, in halacha, in gadlus, to mezakeh harabim. But Marv Rabbeisai, this hashkafa of the Chassam Sofer and the Chafetz Chaim and the Hafla and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and it always bothers me when there's this notion that it's considered more ideal to spend one's whole life just in their Dalet Amos, as if that's the what we call the normative approach of the Gedolei Yisrael. That's not the case. Where does this all come from? This comes from the Sefer Chovos HaVavos, which, by the way, we know that the Chassam Sofer got his whole derech in Avodas Hashem from the Chovos HaVavos. The Chovos HaVavos tells us that V'roi l'cha achi l'adas, my brother, it is worthy to know that the zechusim of someone who believes in Hashem, even if he reaches the highest madrega and he becomes like a Navi, will not come close to the zechus of someone who's mezakeh harabim. And the Chovos HaVavos gives a mashal. You have one guy, he sells jewels, and he sells one kind of jewel. And when he sells that jewel, he buys it for, I don't know, $100,000. He could sell it for $200,000. But then you have another guy. You know what he does? He sells tchatchkalach, rubber bands, paper clips, soda cans, chicken. But he has thousands and thousands of types of merchandise. And he doesn't make a lot of profit on each one. But because he has such varied merchandise and so many different items, the profit of the second merchant will, in the end, in the long run, be much more and more significant than the first merchant. Yeah, the first merchant, he has a jewel that's much more valuable than any one item that the second merchant has. But it's the multiplicity of items that will allow the second merchant to be much more successful. It's the same thing in Ruchniyah, says the Chovos HaVavos. Someone who's only focused on themselves, even if they reach the Madrega of the greatest Navi who ever lived, will pale in comparison to someone who's Mezakeh es Harabim. And as it is known, the Chassam Sofer, we know the whole derech of Avodas Hashem, the Chassam Sofer, came from the Chovos HaVavos, like we find in the Churah HaMeshulash, that every day before the Shir, the Chassam Sofer learned 15 minutes of Chovos HaVavos in order to inflame the hearts of the Talmidim B'Yiras Hashem. And he would learn every part of Chovos HaVavos, including the Hakdama of the Metargim and Shar HaYichud. And Kemat, all the Musar and Hanhaga of the Chassam Sofer came from this holy Sefer. And he says, Talmidim should learn Chovos HaVavos so that they have one Mahalach in serving of Hashem. Says the Chassam Sofer, believe me, any day that I don't learn from this Sefer, I feel a cooling off in my Avodas Hashem. By the way, I'll tell you one more thing Rav Moshe Feinstein adds in Parshas Vayetze. He says, in our generation, we cannot afford to learn Torah, do mitzvahs, do chesed secretly. Whatever we do, people should know about it. Why? But isn't it more beloved in God's eyes? Yeah, but you need people to learn from what you're doing. And that's a much more important factor than all the matan b'seser and all the secret avodas Hashem that a person could be doing. Again, obviously you have to know how to apply it, but if you want to see where he says it, I'll read to you his words. Rav Moshe says that Sarach lehishtadel b'dorenu shetekof yakiru ki yushoymer tar makai mitzvah so itzadokas kadei sheyilamdu achim imenu. Only in the earlier generation, when everyone's a tzaddik, could you be a nistar. In our generation, you cannot afford, Klal Yisrael cannot afford that we should have tzaddikim nistarim. And therefore, the greatness of Avraham Avinu was that he was moiser nefesh, not gufay. He was moiser nafshay. He was moiser his ruchnias, to be able to galvanize more loyal servants of Hashem. But the Chasam Sofer says, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold this ruchnias from those who are moiser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the end, Hashem bestows upon the Oyavei Hashem the same madregos, the same ruchnias, the same Torah. And this is the zchus of Avraham Avinu. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that if we want to invoke the zchus of Avraham Avinu, this is the mahalach that we should try to aspire to. Amen. Ken Hirot. So, thanks everybody for joining. Hope to see everybody next week. And you could join us today at 5 o'clock in the Archos Chaim of the Rosh. And until then, have a amazing day.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.